Lord, I do thank you for your word that is the rock upon which we stand, and I thank you that it never changes. I thank you that we can trust and rely upon your word and your promises, and I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. So this morning I pray that you would just be with us and speak to our hearts, and for those that are not here this morning, I pray that you would bless them and that you would just continue to draw us closer to you each day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you guys doing today? So-so? Good? Coughing? All right? Awake? So it's New Year's, and what we're going to do is, going forward, starting next week, I think, we're going to begin the book of John, and we're going to start teaching through the book of John, and I think Ken and I and possibly Sam, I mean, we're talking about maybe co-teaching and working through that. But today, being New Year's, I wanted to talk about a new year. And I think that New Year's is kind of it's an amazing name given to a holiday, if you think about it. New. What is new? Something that has never existed before. Never worn, never used, never experienced, and there's always a sense of excitement around something that is new, right? Don't you love it when you get something new and it's like a new toy maybe, or you know, you get something. We all just had Christmas, and I'm sure each one of us got something that was new, and we were really excited to unwrap it and just kind of experience it. Did you guys, was there anything in particular that you were really, really excited about getting for Christmas? Boots. All right, that's cool. One person was excited about a Christmas gift? That was it? I know somebody who was really excited about a gift he got. What was it? Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm looking at you. Kevin's like, you're not looking at me, are you? Yeah. Thank you. See, that was fun, right? There's nothing wrong with being excited about a Christmas gift, right? You know? Very, very fun to have something new, but think about this year. Here we are, we're at the beginning of a brand new year, and when I think about this, I ask myself, this coming year, am I going to be as busy as I was last year? Am I going to make any better use of time this year, this coming year that I did last year? Will I draw any closer to Christ? I always say, yes, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to kind of get more focused, I'm going to do some more things, but am I really going to do that? What about in 365 days when this is all over and here we stand next year at this time, are we going to look back and say, do I have any regrets? You know, could I have done, you know, can I look back and be joyful? Kind of like what we were talking about in this journaling, you know. Do you look back and are you able to praise God and rejoice, or are we going to be full of regret? You know, will we be looking with to the future with anticipation or with dread? Oh, by the world's standard, New Year's begins when? January 1st, right? Okay, but by God's standard, I really believe that it's something different. He is not bound, and what I really have enjoyed about our Firm Foundation study is when we've been talking about who is God, we are discovering in the Word that He is not bound by time. He's not bound by a calendar. You know, He's not bound by the things that we are bound by. And so God's standard of a new year is not necessarily the same thing as ours. And for those of us in Christ, I believe that our new year, if you will, it really began the minute that we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Because it's then that our slate is wiped clean. It's then that this excitement and this newness of this relationship of Christ that has started, this newness, you know, we've become alive. And so it's, and then from that moment forward, it's a constant experience. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I've been a Christian for a long time, and it's never been dull. Never. It's always been a roller coaster ride. And I use that term because I love roller coasters. And so the higher the dip, you know, the faster it goes, the more exciting the ride is to me. And so for my life in walking with Christ, it's been a constant series of ups and downs, trials, you know, mountaintop experiences, but it's always been this movement forward. It's always been something that's been progressing forward, which is really nice because we don't ever want to just sit. What happens if we just sit? We become stagnant and you know, we mold, okay? We've got to keep growing and going forward and moving. And so here this morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. In this sense of a new year or our slates being wiped clean, having a fresh start, I want to look at what Paul writes in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus." Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto the completion of the day of Christ Jesus. I mean, God's very word right here, this is packed with so much potential. These words to me are saying, if we're in Christ, the best year of our life is ahead of us. 2015 is going to be the best year of your life. Now, you might wonder, where in the world do you get that out of that verse? Well, maybe some of us have trials. Maybe you might say, my 401k is a mess, my retirement's a mess, or my job's a mess, or I just lost a job, or you know, I just lost a loved one, or you know, things don't look very, you know, promising for the next year. But Paul here, I believe in this verse, as he's telling us that the best year of our life is ahead of us. Let's look at that. I mean, look at that verse and see where I'm going with this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Two of you. Great. Okay, we're on a good start. This is good. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, then this verse is specifically for you. If you know Jesus, this verse is specifically for you. God started something within you. If you've accepted Christ into your life, if you call him Savior, then God has begun something in you that no one can stop. This is what I really love about this. Nothing can stand in the way of God's plan for your life. Okay, we know nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? Nothing can stop God's plan for you. God began this work, and if God started something, that means that he has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. Think about this. God has thought about each one of us sitting in this room right here individually. He has contemplated you. He has thought about you. You are on his mind, and he has made a plan for you. Think about that for just the seriousness of that statement. The God of the universe, the creator of the universe. I mean, we're even told that the universe would span in God's fingertips, right? Our never-ending, you know, expansive universe. The God of the universe knows you by name, knows the number of hairs on your head, and he's made a plan for your life. That is significant. Each and every day, for those of us in Christ, we are walking forward in that plan that God has for us. We're walking towards perfection. Romans 8:29 tells us, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, how do we simplify that? What does that mean? For those of us that God knows, calls by name, He predestined. He chose us to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. What does that mean, to be conformed to something? To be more like it. Right. I mean, that's the simple truth. Each one of us, God has predestined to be more like Jesus. Now, can you and I, and we just talked about this, in our own strengths, can we do anything that's going to make us look more like Christ? Well, I could grow a beard, right? I mean, Keith had that down really well. I think I might be able to try and get a beard. I mean, maybe, you know, I could look a little bit more like Jesus. That's about the best I could do. But could we do anything to be more like Christ? No, because we're bound by our flesh, right? So God is doing this work. This is where we should find freedom. It's not based on what you can do to be more like Christ. All we can do is have faith and trust God's word and let Him do the work. It's God that does the work, not us. So you and I, every day, are being pruned. We're being molded and shaped into the image of Jesus. And it's a process. Some of us, it's a long process. But it's a process nonetheless that God has started and no one can stop. We will be more like Christ every single day. God is moving in our lives and He's carrying us forward. Yes, we're going to have portfolio issues. We're going to have financial stresses. We're going to have relationship issues. You and I, though, we can rest in that. We can have peace that no matter what's happening around us, that God is at work. Right? Do you believe that? God is at work in our lives. And we can have peace. He's doing the work. He's giving us His best. And so much so, He gave us our best, or His best, His Son, right? He became a man. He died on the cross for us to pay the price for us. He gave us His Son. So in essence, we can say that this coming year is going to be the best year of our lives, okay? We can say it because God is defining what best is. God is defining what is best and what best looks like in our lives. He's not finished in creating His good works in us. And during this year, by His hand, by His power, we'll be fashioned even more into what He wants us to become, by His work. And we know this because Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by what? My Spirit, says the Lord. Okay, God is going to do the work. And you know what, guys? We have the easy part. We just need to sit back and let Him. Just let Him do the work. And not get in the way. We got to just stop getting in the way and thinking, I love what you're saying of, yeah, I got it, God. I got it. Things are going really good. I can handle this. No, I don't ever want to be in that position. No, Lord, I don't have it. I need You to take control. You know, when we doubt, when we struggle, all we have to do is just look to Him, cry out to Him, turn to Him. Let Him do that work and just rest and be still. Know that He's God and let Him do that work. Now, if we're in Christ, and I believe that this best year is ahead of us, there's a few things that we have to know about in this thought process. Number one, best may not mean less painful. Okay, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. So if you're thinking about, okay, so Pat, you're telling me that 2015, this is going to be the best year of my life. Now, don't define best based on your definition, okay? Because again, best may not mean less painful. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9 says, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Join with me in suffering. Okay, here's an example. Let's say I'm going to say to everyone in this room, hey, after church, I want to take everybody to lunch. So we're going to go over to Outback Steakhouse, and whatever you get, it's on me. Who's up? Suddenly, hey, there's a great incentive to go, right? Okay, excellent. You're going to go and have a great lunch. Now, I come in and say, join with me in suffering for the gospel. We're going to go down and we're going to do this and we're going to experience some suffering. Who's with me? Sam, right on, buddy. We're going. What happened, John? No free lunch? What's the deal? Okay, we'll go suffer after lunch.
Okay.
No, you see that, though? But join with me in suffering for the gospel, okay? Being a Christian means that you and I most likely will share in some kind of suffering. Turn now to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And follow along with me as I read verses 12 through 19. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of the glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as Christians, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, then what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Best may not always mean less painful. Very important to know. You may experience suffering for the account of Christ. Number two, best may not always mean financially successful. Riches and material goods are not the true sign of God's blessing on someone's life. We've really got to get that straight. That just because somebody has a lot of money or has a big fat bank account or has nice things does not mean God is really blessing them. Okay, we equate materialistic things and all that kind of stuff with God's blessing. And that's not, Jesus never promised us that we would have big houses, nice cars, or fat bank accounts, or great retirements. He did promise us, though, in Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God shall meet all of your needs according to what? The glorious riches of Christ Jesus, right? My God will meet all of your needs. Now, I don't need a Ferrari. I jokingly was saying I wanted a Ferrari for Christmas, right? I didn't get one. There wasn't one under my tree. But that's a ridiculous desire. It's not a need. God will meet all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want God to meet my needs according to what His definition of glorious riches in Christ Jesus are. Not mine. Imagine when we say glorious riches. You know, when I was thinking about this verse, I thought about the new Hobbit movie that we just went and saw. And I'm not really into the whole story and of all that, but the dwarves had this mountain, right? And in the mountain was this a mass of riches. And when they got into the mountain, they got all down through the catacombs and everywhere, and they came into this massive place that was just full of gold coins. I mean, just full. And you look at this and you go, wow, that is glorious riches. I mean, amazing, all the gold that they had there. If that is what we define as glorious riches, can you imagine what the Creator of the universe would define as glorious riches? We are so limited in our view and in the way that we can define things. Imagine what the Creator of the universe would define as glorious riches. I don't know about you, but if I had my choice between what we define and what God defines, I would take God's definition any day. And I want you to think about this. The king comes into Jerusalem, right, during the triumphal entry. The king comes in on a donkey, right? This is not the way a king should come in when he's coming in, right, to Jerusalem. He should come in with this great pomp and circumstance and this great procession. God comes in lowly, humble, on a donkey. We've got such a drastic difference of viewpoints of what glorious riches would be. But all I know is that doesn't mean material wealth. Best may not mean riches and glory and great bank accounts and great, you know, your bills are always paid. And that may not mean the best ever, okay? Our best year ever may be painful, and it may not be financially secure. And number three, our best year ever may not mean relationally fulfilling. Think about this. Sometimes when we take a stand for Christ, it can damage relationships. Jesus himself wrote, you can turn to Matthew 10. This is a really interesting passage. Jesus speaking, and he says in Matthew 10, verses 35 through 39, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That's what Jesus is saying. When we try to hold on to anything that stands between the Lord and I, that's an issue. That really, it becomes an idol. It becomes our God. Anything that we might hold in between God and us, you know, is there something, you know, that you're holding as an idol? Is there something you refuse to give up? Is there something that God wants from you but you're not willing to give him? You know, we have to be careful about that. I think that believing the Bible, trusting Jesus as our Savior, obeying his commands, these at times, they're going to isolate us from the world. Definitely within a culture that we live in, if we stand on just the Bible alone, if we you know, call ourselves born-again Christians, that can isolate us. And that can cause friction in relationships. But that's okay. If we willingly trust Jesus, if we care more about what the Father thinks than what the world thinks, then we're going to find our lives, the Scripture tells us. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Losing my life for his sake can mean I can have relationship issues, obviously. Our best year ever may not mean it's less painful, it's financially secure, it's relationally secure. You know, you and I think we know what best means. And if we're honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, I don't think we do. Proverbs 19:21 tells us, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. His ways are perfect. He knows what's best for us." God's definition to me of the best year to come is a mystery. All we have to know is that he is creating the best in us right now. In the circumstance, in your life, wherever you're at right now and whatever you're going through, God knows. It's not like he's gone asleep or forgotten or just kind of set you on your path and he's letting you go and he'll come check back with you later. He is always there, and he knows every step of the plan that he's got for you. All we have to do is trust him. We just need to realize that we are works of art. You know, last night we talked kind of briefly about being the created being. God is the creator, and we are the created being. We are this masterpiece that God is working. And what we have to know is, is that it's one stroke at a time, one paintbrush at a time, one, you know, carving, one little, you know, whatever. You know, he is the masterpiece, you know, master builder, and we are just being put together one day at a time, one thing at a time. And when he sees something that isn't really good for us, he's going to cut that out. And that may not feel good. But we can trust that he's doing something that's going to create this beautiful masterpiece. And we are promised that we will be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, I know for me personally, he's got a lot of cutting to do in order to look like Jesus. A lot of cutting. Pruning is not fun. I mean, come on, how many of us like to be pruned? It doesn't feel good. God disciplines those he loves. You know, God, if he's going to work in our lives, he's going to do things that may make us uncomfortable. But we can trust that he is doing the work. We don't have to worry. We can just take it day by day. You know, we can rejoice in the Lord, and we can trust in the trials that we're going through. We've got each other as family. We've got each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got, you know, the Lord. We have the ability to just relax and trust him and just have peace, knowing that even the difficult circumstance you might find yourself in now, there is a reason for it. And you have to remember, too, that sometimes God takes us into the desert because it's the only place we can learn that lesson that he has for us. And when we've learned that lesson, once again, we become more like Christ. We are now more prepared to handle this in the future or to do something else with it that God has a plan for. So we can trust him. And we can trust that no matter where we find ourselves, he has made provision for us. God will never call us into the desert to leave us there to dry, just dry up and wither away. Never. God always makes a provision for us. And my final verse I'll share with you in this section is from Lamentations 3:22, and it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." I mean, think about that for a second. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like, I just can't handle another thing right this minute? Think about that. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We'll never be consumed if we focus in on God's love for us. Focus on that the next time you find yourself being consumed with life, with circumstance. If you find yourself flailing, remind yourself, hey, wait a minute, I need to focus on God's love. Because it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Isn't that an amazing passage? That should give you peace in the middle of any storm you're going through. Because his compassion never fails. His mercies are made new every morning. New, again. Think about that word. Like I started with, never worn, never used, never experienced, this sense of excitement around something new. This is the way our walk should be every day, because it says his compassions, his mercies are new every day. Have you lost the sense of wonder and excitement around this newness? And if you have, then I would venture this year, don't make a resolution, because we all know resolutions fail. There was one more I did make that I am resolved to eat more chocolate too. And I will uphold that. I know I will. Let's be real. Let's make resolutions we can keep, all right? Don't make a resolution that you're going to try to read more, you're going to try to pray more, you're going to try to help little moral ladies across the street or whatever it is that you want to do. Don't, you know, I mean, it's good to want to do things, but don't make those resolutions. Instead, I would challenge you to take Lamentations 3:22 and just resolve to memorize that verse this year. And take that and make that your verse yours. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. That is such a, that just like gives me this, I can breathe. I can breathe. Am I being consumed? Hold on, I need to stand back because I'm letting the world consume me when I need to really let God consume me. Let me fill my thoughts with God's thoughts. Let me get in his word and just kind of get lost in that and get filled from that instead of letting the world consume me. This is a fresh place to begin a new year. And this morning, I think it's appropriate that being the first Sunday of the new year with so much incredible potential, instead of beginning it with resolutions, I think what we should do is let's start the new year with communion together. It's been a while since we've taken communion. I think this would be a great place to start. You can, if you'd like, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, and it reads, Paul is instructing, and he says, "For what I received from the Lord, what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So here, we're given this ordinance of communion that Jesus says, "Take this, my body and my blood, and remember what I've done for you." What did Jesus do for us? Jesus died on the cross. God became a man and died on the cross for our sins so that we could have relationship and eternal life with him. We will never be good enough. We can never earn it on our own. There is nothing that we can do to earn salvation whatsoever. This is what Jesus is saying. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. And so this morning, I think this is the best thing for us to do. The first Sunday of a brand new year, his mercies were made new this morning. When we all got up, we all got a fresh start. It's a sense of newness and excitement. What is God going to do in this coming year? I don't know. But I can trust it's going to be exciting. And I am so thankful that he chose me, that he's predestined me to be more like Christ, and that he is going to do the work so I don't have to do it. So I can just stand back and let him mold me and shape me into Jesus, into looking like Jesus, right? He is going to do that work. So I'm excited, and that gives me excitement. That's new. And so this morning, what I'd like you to do is take a few moments as the gals lead us in worship. They're going to play a couple songs and confess your sins. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. So spend some time in prayer. Confess your sins. You know, think about maybe some of those things that we might be holding on to that God wants from us, and just give it over to him and say, "Lord, take it. And you know what, Lord? I surrender myself, and do with me what you will this year. Make me more like Jesus." I mean, isn't that an amazing thing to ask? And so this morning, let's spend a little bit of time in prayer, and we'll have Ken and Kevin want to come up, and you guys can distribute the elements while they're doing worship, and then we can all maybe corporately take it together with a sense of excitement and newness. Amen? All right. Thanks.